You're listening to in-depth coverage and analysis of the final weeks of the 2020 campaign on the COIN Podcast Network, your local election headquarters.
The Democrats would like to take it back. They don't want to have a Republican in there.
Most people have no idea what this job is.
Tonight, the two women vying to be Oregon's next Secretary of State will go head-to-head in a televised debate that you can see on COIN 6 at 7 p.m.
A Republican can do this job and hold government in check.
Because this is the job of protecting our democracy, and our democracy doesn't work if folks are concerned that there's a thumb on the scale.
Before it begins, I talked to COIN 6 news anchor Dan Tilken about the candidates, their similar platforms, and how the winner could shape several elections to come.
They've looked at one part of the voting process, and I would like to look at all of it.
One person giving $1 million is different than a million people giving $1.
I'm Ian Costello. It is Tuesday, October 6th, and you are listening to the COIN Podcast Network coverage of the 2020 election. Dan, you interviewed both of the candidates for Oregon's Secretary of State, Shamia Fagan, the Democrat, and Republican Kim Thatcher, neither of whom are the incumbent. For those of us who may not pay as much attention to the Secretary of State's office in Oregon the way you do, why is there no incumbent?
Well, if you remember, Dennis Richardson, who was the incumbent, he got brain cancer and he passed away in early 2019. So then Governor Kate Brown replaced him with Bev Clarno, also a Republican, with the caveat that she not seek re-election. So there you have an open seat.
It was the agreement going in from the governor's office when Clarno was appointed. You cannot run again.
That was the agreement, yes.
What do we know about Oregon's Secretary of State? What are the responsibilities of that office, and which party is usually in control of it?
Well, like all statewide offices in Oregon, it's usually controlled by Democrats. Republicans have had a devil of a time getting into statewide office since the 80s. And so when Dennis Richardson won that office in 2016,
Dennis Richardson raised the bar. I really want to continue in the vein that Dennis Richardson did, and I want to continue raising the bar.
Former Secretary of State Richardson, the first thing he did as Secretary of State in Oregon is stand up to Donald Trump's lies about people voting twice.
The thing that everybody thinks of when the Secretary of State's office gets the most headlines is election security, making sure that the system is safe and also doing the nuts and bolts of an election and how that is all carried out. Also, what they do is keep track of business licenses and LLCs, and they also do audits of state agencies. They do them routinely. They look at agencies and make sure that they're spending money correctly, and if not, then they'll offer suggestions on how to do it. One thing that's coming down the pipe here, which isn't usually talked about, it's a much less sexy headline, is redistricting.
I have some very big ideas for particularly redistricting here in Oregon using an independent nonpartisan commission.
So the 2020 census is going on now. When that comes out, they will determine where the populations are. And so they have to redraw districts as far as like state lawmakers. Now, that's supposed to fall to the legislature. They're supposed to get along and figure that out. If they cannot, then by law, that goes to the Secretary of State's office. So you can see why that would be important.
This independent redistricting, I had all along said that we need to take the partisan process out of it and begin with a people-driven process. And that's
Dan, does the fact that Oregon Secretary of State also serve as a de facto lieutenant governor and would take office if the governor resigns or can no longer serve make it more politically charged than it may be in another state, keeping in mind that this is the way Kate Brown ascended into the governor's office when John Kitzhaber stepped down?
In the past, it wasn't much of a big deal, but considering how politicized our society is now, I think people consider it a much bigger deal. As Kate Brown, I believe, was the third person to ascend from Secretary of State to governor. Most states, like Washington, has a lieutenant governor, and they would be the person that would ascend to it. And in Oregon, it's the Secretary of State. So I think just by a factor, everybody is so much more on edge and so more divided that this seat, this job becomes more elevated in the public eye.
We talked about Beverly Clarno a little bit ago. Whoever wins this race in 2020 will replace Clarno, who replaced the acting Secretary of State, Leslie Cummings, who replaced Dennis Richardson, who took office in January of 2017 after winning in November of 2016. Is there any reason to be concerned or alarmed that this will be Oregon's fourth Secretary of State in the last 5 years?
No, I don't see any. Nobody's brought that up as a situation. You know, Oregon was the first in the country to do vote by mail, and all indications is that the vote by mail system is very, very safe. Dennis Richardson, one of the first things he did when he came into office in 2016 was to do an audit of the electioneering system, and he was adamant that the election system in Oregon is safe. And when I talked to Bev Clarno's office, they point back to the Dennis Richardson audit in 2016, and they are adamant, the Republican-led Secretary of State's office is adamant that Oregon's election system is safe.
We know that vote by mail is safe and secure and has worked for decades here in Oregon.
Shamia Fagan, the Democrat in this race, says everything's safe, perfectly safe, no need to worry.
Under my leadership as Secretary of State, it's not going anywhere.
Kim Thatcher, she says the same thing, that the system is safe.
We have a lot of safeguards in place other states may not have. So when you hear about problems, it's probably because they don't have a safeguard in place that we have.
But she adds a caveat that she believes there needs to be a top-to-bottom review of every step of the voting process just to make sure.
I do think it would be worthwhile to do a top-to-bottom look at every step of the elections process just to make sure that we do maintain and keep the best process and keep the best procedures in place.
And just to be clear, you asked both Fagan and Thatcher if they felt Oregon's elections were secure, and they both said yes.
Yes, they were very, very firm. Both said yes.
You've been tracking this race since the Oregon primaries, and I know you've been reporting on the spending, specifically what seems to be a lot of money being spent on this race. What is standing out to you about that?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this comes out, because the Dennis Richardson, Brad Avakian race of 2016 raised over $4 million. This race so far, Shamia Fagan has raised $1.4 million and Kim Thatcher about $531,000. So those two candidates alone are only about half of what was raised in the 2016 race. There is the possibility with a month to go in the election that this could eclipse the 2016 race, depending on what polling shows. If polling shows that it's a tight race, then look for a lot more money to go behind Thatcher. Shamia Fagan has almost three times as much money as Thatcher does. Most of her money comes from labor unions. A lot of the money for Thatcher comes from individuals.
Let's get to the candidates specifically now, Dan. You had a chance to talk with both Shamia Fagan and Kim Thatcher at length. What are their platforms? What do they want to bring to the Secretary of State's office?
Well, the fascinating thing is that I find it very difficult to find differences in the two candidates' platforms. I found the same thing when I did the preview of the primary, when there was more candidates involved. They all say they want the same thing. It's fascinating. When I asked Thatcher and I asked Fagan about their qualifications, one of the first things that each of them said is that they were responsible for the legislation that established a committee, a small business office within the Secretary of State's office. And I think I interviewed Fagan first, and she made that claim.
The very first bill that I was the chief co-sponsor of, freshman legislator, helped create the Office of Small Business Assistance in the Secretary of State's office.
I interviewed Thatcher second, and she made the claim. And I said, wait a second, I feel like this is deja vu that you're taking credit for the same thing she is. And Thatcher said, yes.
That's what propelled me to pass a bill in 2011 that led to the creation of the Small Business Advocate in the Secretary of State's office in 2013.
Maybe they both are responsible for it. You know, in the state of Washington, if you mail your ballot on election day and it's postmarked, it still counts. They're both in favor of that, or at least some form of that. Thatcher, after talking to county clerks, thinks that that might be too hard. So how about the Saturday before? If it's postmarked the Saturday before election day, that should count.
Yeah, I still think that's a good idea. It would behoove us to look at postmarks where if people put it in the mail and the post office is taking a long time, it's kind of out of the hands of the voter, but they did vote in time.
And we talked to Fagan. She says, yes, I want to move it. After talking to county clerks, I want to make sure it's a day that works for them.
I will definitely propose it. And I want to make sure that we come to the legislature with a comprehensive package that doesn't then put our county clerks suddenly in a bind because they have to fulfill deadlines that are in the law that they now can't fulfill if ballots are still trickling in via the mail. But I want to make sure that I work with our 36 county clerks all across Oregon to do that in a way that they know is feasible and doable, as they're the actual on-the-ground election administrators here in Oregon.
They're both very, very much aligned in what they believe. From what I'm able to tell, their criticisms of each other kind of go back to their voting records in way in the past.
As state senators?
As state senators. And so it gets very confusing unless you are going to do a super deep dive on who voted for this and what and when. It's the current policies and the current promises of the current things that they want to do are very similar.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to this presentation from the COIN Podcast Network. Here's another podcast you might want to check out right now.
March 31st, 1989. And when I got to the top of the stairway, gunfire just erupted immediately.
There's a lot of aspects of Andrew Sled's story that resonate in a lot of the headlines today.
And then he kneeled on my chest and he put his gun to my head and he said, "I should blow your effing brains out."
So I ended up calling Andrew the following day.
Hello?
I heard a story I couldn't believe I'd never heard before.
And he said, "We're the police." And I said, "I didn't know you were the police." And at that point, I think they were pretty quickly realizing that they had made a horrible mistake.
And in many ways, Andrew Sled's story goes unnoticed and untold outside of his friends and family for the last 30 years.
Until now.
You can listen to more great COIN podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.
Dan, if these two candidates for Secretary of State have so much in common, why is it important to the people of Oregon who wins?
Besides the nuts and bolts of who is providing the leadership that's going to do audits, who is going to provide the leadership to establish a new computer system about voting, we saw the difficulties that the unemployment department is dealing with. The state has a long history of botched computer upgrades. So that is important. It's also going to be very important if the redistricting falls to the Secretary of State's office. Where are the lines drawn for who is going to be in a legislative district? Gerrymandering can be a huge influence on the shape of politics and the balance of power in legislatures. Again, both candidates say they would make a bipartisan committee to do the selections. They both say that they would be independent. Now, on a purely political spectrum, it's important for Democrats to win that office back so they can have supremacy across the state leadership. And for Republicans, it's maybe even more important to hold on to that office so they can maintain their small foothold in statewide politics and the power structure in Oregon.
Is it fair to say, as people in Oregon fill out their ballots this year and with their vote for Secretary of State, they could be determining how the 2024 and 2028 elections look?
They could be determining how the race for governor looks. I've asked Fagan, I asked Thatcher, is this office a stepping stone for you to run for governor? They both say no, that they just want to be Secretary of State, and this is what they are focused on.
No, I'm excited to run for Secretary of State. As I mentioned, these are the issues I've been working on since I started in the legislature. The very first time I met Kate Brown was when she was Secretary of State, and I sat in her office with some voting rights advocates as we mapped out our path to being the first state in the nation to pass automatic voter registration. So I'm very excited. I have some very big ideas for particularly redistricting here in Oregon using an independent nonpartisan commission, but that's based in equity to make sure that we fulfill our representation responsibilities to all Oregonians. So I'm very excited to serve in this role as Oregon's Secretary of State.
If I get elected Secretary of State this November, you will not see my name on the ballot for governor in 2022. I want to finish my term as Secretary of State and you know, barring any weird things happening, which only happened three times in our history where the Secretary of State had to leave their office to go serve as governor, barring anything like that, which would be very unusual, I plan to serve as Secretary of State for my full term, and we'll go from there.
But you've got to think that these are folks who have served in the legislature for a long time.
I have spent the last 16 years of my legislative career dealing with good government issues, accountability in government, transparency, all kinds of things dealing with the Secretary of State's office directly.
Well, I've spent the last almost decade in my entire service in the legislature working to make it easier for folks to participate in our democracy, from automatic voter registration to prepaid postage, and doing the work that directly relates to the Secretary of State's office.
If they get themselves that close to the governor's office, that it would be tempting for them to try to make that step. So the next logical step in your political career, that you would try to make that leap.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
If you missed the Oregon State Secretary of State debate on Coin 6, you can see the entire rebroadcast and Dan's full interviews with both candidates anytime on coin.com.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.